grab some popcorn and a favorite chair. The love of movies is why we're here. Press play and don't delay. Let Phil be our guide to a cinematic day. Phil at the movies, through the silver screen to his podcast stream. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies. Phil at the movies.
And welcome back, my friends, to another episode of Phil at the Movies. I'm your host, Phil Walsh, and this is show number 157 of this ongoing podcast that is, you guessed it, For the Love of Movies. Today, I want to talk with you about a film that surprised me in the best possible way. A movie that subverted my expectations. I love when you go into a film and you have a preconceived notion of it in your head. And you go in sort of with the idea of the expectation being no expectations. And then you walk out of the theater and not only have your expectations or lack thereof been subverted, but you've watched something equally as compelling and gratifying that you can't wait to go watch it again and tell everybody else about it. That brings me to today's topic, Death of a Unicorn. This is a film from A24, stars Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega. Now, I went into this movie expecting it to be a creature feature, more or less. A creature feature with unicorns. Thus, of course, the title. And I am delighted to say that while, yes, this is a creature feature with unicorns, the film is much more interesting than a simple premise. It is dark, it is whimsical, it is bonkers at points. It's perfectly timed with a message that feels both contemporary and universal. I had an absolute blast with this movie. And on my way back from the theater tonight, I'm recording this, it's 10:41 p.m. here on Thursday. You'll hear this episode tomorrow being Friday or perhaps at a later date. So maybe, you know, hello to the future. You know, this is the past speaking. All right. We won't have a tenant divergent at the moment, but we'll say that for another day. No, I'm sidetracked, of course. Driving home from the theater tonight after watching this film, I was reminded of this quote from the iconic director Quentin Tarantino. And he said this a number of years ago, but it rings true today. And he was talking about the nature of storytelling, the ways to tell stories, particularly in movies. And the quote goes, this is again from Quentin Tarantino, "A good majority of the movies that come out, you pretty much know everything you're going to see in the movie by the first 10 or 20 minutes." He goes on to say, "Now that's not a story." And he's entirely correct. Now, is there anything wrong with that approach when it comes to movies? No, it's formulaic. It sort of caters to the masses. It does work, but it's not necessarily engaging. To me, the best kind of movie is one that has you on the edge of your seat. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about a horror movie per se or a thriller, though certainly those comparisons would apply. But I am talking about the idea of not knowing what is going to happen from moment to moment. And this is what happens in Death of a Unicorn. You go into this movie, I certainly went into this movie, with a preconceived notion. And I was delighted to have all of those expectations and preconceived ideas shattered and kicked out the window. That's why I love movies generally, because you never know what you are going to get when you sit down in that theater. And sometimes having a preconceived idea of something before you watch it and then having that be turned on its head is, in many ways, the best result for a movie. Now, of course, there can sometimes be the flip side, and it's a devastating failure, but that is not the case with Death of a Unicorn, and that is going to be the topic of today's review. But before I begin, let me say, as I often do at this point in the show, thank you, as always, for tuning in each and every Friday and being a part of this cinematic journey with me, putting up with my cinematic philosophies, pun intended, of course, and just being a friend of this show. I am grateful to each and every one of you for making it possible that this show has lasted all the way to 157 episodes. That would not be possible without you, the faithful listeners and friends of this show. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. And of course, if you would be so kind to rate and review this podcast on Apple, it helps out a great deal with the algorithms and building the audience across an even larger platform and spectrum. So I would appreciate any help in that regard, as well as sharing it on social media, sharing it with like-minded movie buffs or friends, movie lovers of all stripes. As I say, of course, each and every week, it's more than a tagline. For the love of movies, that is my philosophy. That is the mantra of this show. All right, everybody. So, Death of a Unicorn. What a wicked fun movie this turned out to be. The plot of the movie involves Paul Rudd's character named Elliot, who is a lawyer for a large conglomerate, and he has been summoned to the family compound in the mountainside to attend to the estate of the CEO and founder, played by the wonderful and always on point Richard E. Grant. Along the ride with Paul Rudd is Jenna Ortega. She's playing his daughter in this film, Ridley. And they clearly have a strained relationship at the start of the film. He's sort of a workaholic. He's a single dad, a widower, raising his daughter the best he can. She is very much the antithesis of his corporate mindset, kind of shirt-tucker mentality. She is a free spirit, much more in touch with her senses and kind of natural order of things. And so it really is a unique kind of clashing of the minds and personalities. Well, on the way to the management summit with his boss and his family as well, there is an accident. As they're driving through the bends and turns of the mountainside, they strike what they believe to be is a horse, but upon further inspection, they discover that this is not just any ordinary horse. They have struck a unicorn. Again, the premise of this film, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be just a silly creature feature. It's not. I mean, thank God. Like, it would have been entertaining if it just sort of stuck with that premise. But the movie is smart enough to take that wacky, zany, creative idea and spin it out in a bunch of different directions. So, of course, they take the creature and store it in the back of their car, as you do, and continue on the way to the summit for the meeting with the family. And during this meeting, Ridley starts having what are sort of visions or feelings, because back when they struck the unicorn on the side of the road, Ridley grabbed hold of the unicorn's horn, and there's sort of this almost like psychedelic transfer, this sort of blending of worlds where she sort of sees into not necessarily the future, but a sense of purpose and understanding all through the power channeled in by the unicorn. And I love that the movie does not explain what exactly it is she is seeing, other than it is a good feeling, it is a sense of purpose. It sort of invites you, the audience, to sort of spin this idea out in your own mind. But again, it's very trippy. It sort of takes you off this little kind of external adventure, if you will, where you're wondering, okay, what exactly is it that she saw when she grabbed hold of the horn? But back to the main point. The unicorn itself, through its injuries, has been hurt, and both Elliot and Ridley get sprayed with a little bit of its unicorn blood, and as a result, they discover there is a healing component to this. For example, Ridley has acne; it disappears from her face. Paul Rudd's character has terrible allergies and wears glasses. That is all gone thanks to his encounter with the unicorn. Now, at the same time, the family that he is the lawyer for, the CEO of this massive corporation, the father, Odell Leopold, again played by Richard E. Grant, he is dying with a terminal cancer and very, very sick, you know, pretty much bedridden. And that's part of the reason he summoned Paul Rudd's characters to sort of handle his estate and affairs. Well, of course, they discover that they have this unicorn in the back of the trunk. And not only do they discover it, they discover that there is this healing component to it, this sort of supernatural powers within the beast itself. And of course, being greedy, rich one percenters, if you will, they want to exploit it. And they seize the animal and work to discover the nature and secrets of its powers and capabilities. Well, of course, that is only opening Pandora's box, because not only have they discovered the curative powers of the unicorn, but they have also unleashed its mother and father. It's like a distress call goes out, and they come looking for their child. And, well, let's just say things do not go well for the people who have captive the baby unicorn. Now, a word about the Leopold family. As I said, Richard E. Grant, he is always wonderful and charming in any role, and he plays this maniacal CEO corporate type perfectly. I wouldn't call it a cliched performance, because he imbues enough sort of twisted humanity into his story. And on the one hand, you sort of get, like, he's a man dying of cancer. He wants to be able to stop the disease and discovers this power of the unicorn and sort of uses it to cure himself. But then, of course, he takes it to the most logical extreme, or the illogical extreme, I should say, and results in the exploitation of this poor, defenseless creature at the expense of wealth and privilege and power. Now, interestingly enough, he is not the only member of this family that is a scene stealer, if you will. Tia Leone, she plays his wife, and she's wonderfully vain in the film. I mean, she's, again, these are despicable people, but they play them perfectly. The real scene stealer of this film, I mean, frankly, of this entire cast, is Will Poulter, who plays their son, Griffin. And he is just a wacky delight in this film. He's the typical son of a billionaire, vapid, obsessed with himself, and delusional to the most logical end. And it's just such a hammy and fun performance, and he just eats up the scenery in every single moment. I mean, he got the biggest laughs of anybody in the film. Again, he's an actor, whenever he shows up to a film, he automatically enhances the project, and he definitely does that here in the movie. But, of course, the headliners, Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega, they are wonderful. Absolutely wonderful as a father-daughter combination. And they really are the heart and soul of this movie. Like I said, the unexpected moments in this film in terms of the story and narrative beats really come from Rudd and particularly Jenna Ortega. The movie goes beyond just the simple idea of this being a creature feature. Again, unicorns, killer unicorns, if you will. There is a lot of blood. There is a lot of gore in this film. But they managed to in sort of inject the mythology and story of the unicorn in a way where it takes the sort of fairy tale-esque nature of it, but puts it in the modern context. And that's where Jenna Ortega really shines, particularly in the emotional beats of the film. Again, this is what I mean. The film goes beyond a simple creature feature into almost a modern-day Grimm's fairy tale and really captures the idea of this mythical creature. I mean, if you just sort of look at what a unicorn represents, it's meant to be a symbol of innocence and magic and hope, with that single horn representing all of their power and purity, kind of this idea of transcendence and the power of belief and freedom. And I like how they give the unicorns a soul. They're not just monsters in the film. They're for the bloody, gory moments, but actually serve a purpose in this larger idea that the film is trying to get across, which kind of made me think that really the best way to describe this film, it's Jurassic Park meets Where the Wild Things Are. Now, two totally and tonally different stories and movies, but you certainly have the idea of science manipulation at the hands of the wealthy and privileged, a la Jurassic Park. But you also have this story of imagination and the idea of sort of experiencing the untamed wilderness and rebellion and sort of finding that sense of purpose and place. That's where the wild things are. You know, again, they feature, you know, creatures and whatnot. But that was sort of what was running through my head as I was watching this. Like, yeah, this is Jurassic Park meets Where the Wild Things Are. And I think that's the perfect way to examine this film and to really take away from it. Is it's a one thing, again, it is the creature feature, but it's also something much more than that. There is a story with heart and tenderness, and it's this sort of infusion of comedy with bloody over-the-top spectacle, but yet still finds that magical nature where there's sort of this idea of belonging and ultimately the power of family love. And there is, of course, the great contrast between the Leopold family and Elliot and Ridley's, whereas they start off fractured and kind of at odds with each other, but ultimately are brought together because of their encounter with the unicorns. And the Leopold family is, spoilers ahead, driven apart literally and figuratively by the movie's end. And so there is this cautionary tale at the core of this movie, but ultimately, it is this madcap fantasy with terrific performance, scene-stealing moments, and again, I said at the top, a film that I was not expecting. I was not expecting to have such a laugh riot with this film. I was not expecting it to be as over the top with the blood and gore, but yet at the same time, still find that humanity. Even in the idea of it being a film about unicorns, the idea that there is this tender story of love and family and hope. And I go back to that point about how Ridley's character, when she comes in contact with the unicorn's horn, she's able to sort of have this transcendent moment and sort of see into whether it's the future or her destiny. And it ultimately happens with Elliot's character later. And he has the same exact reaction. And the movie never tells us what they saw or what they experienced, only that it was where they were meant to be, what was meant to happen to them and for them. And I kind of like that. It's not ominous in a way. It's hopeful. And the way this film ends, it may not work for everybody. I won't spoil it just so you can savor the experience. But for me, it goes back to that idea of great mythology and sort of the open-endedness, the idea, if you will, where there's another story beyond the cliched ending, if you will, of the dragon gets slayed, so to speak. There's something more. There's kind of a metaphor beyond just the all is wrapped up, all is well, so to speak. And I like that. That's, to me, the most provocative way to end a film like this, because certainly they could have gone safe and cheesy, but it instead sort of stuck with the themes and ideas that are right there throughout it, that there's sort of this mystical and mythical quality and through line running from start to finish. And so this is fantasy done right. I mean, I call it madcap fantasy, because certainly with the way things are going with unicorns and science being infused into the situation, but ultimately this is a fantasy ride set within our modern context that really does check all the boxes for me. And as I said, it subverted my expectations. I was just expecting a simple creature feature, and I got something with tremendous heart and a great amount of enjoyment. So I recommend this film. I think this is a must-see, and I hope people check it out this weekend. I know I'm going to be checking it out again, because just the ride of this film, again, I go back to that Quentin Tarantino quote about the story unfolding and never knowing exactly what was going to happen. And just when you think it's going to go one way, it goes another. Best possible experience for a movie when you go in with expectations and something else happens as a result. But there you have it. The movie is Death of a Unicorn, my review for you today. A movie that I did not expect to enjoy as much as I did, but that is the beauty of cinema. Expect the unexpected. That does it for me today, everybody. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. This was a little bit of a longer episode, so I appreciate you sticking with me all this time. I'll be back next week, where we will do this all over again for the love of movies. Makes every movie.